This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Chris Solari is going to join us, the Detroit Free Press, at the bottom of the hour. We will talk to him about this Mel Tucker situation. I don't want to start the hour on a downer note, but I did want to get to this story about that fan who died at Gillette Stadium getting into a fight with a Dolphins fan. Did you see that one? A 53-year-old man from Newmarket, New Hampshire. He's a 30-year season ticket holder for the Patriots. Just got in a fight with a Dolphins fan. Somebody was jarring with the whole game. He got a couple of punches to his head, and he died. 53 years old. That's crazy.
It is.
That happened to...
Reminds me of the Giants-Dodgers.
I was just going to say, it happened to the Giants-Dodgers game once.
Where a Giants fan was, I think he survived, but I think he was in a coma for a long time.
Is it? Are we at that point? Are we taking this to a point where you just want to argue with somebody and it leads to fighting? It can't even just be a good old-fashioned jarring of verbal words? I'm not going to say this is an epidemic. I mean, it's obviously, if it's in the news, it's not happening every week everywhere.
Right. I think that's the thing. I don't think we're at the soccer hooligan stage yet, where soccer hooligans will fight often.
It is very weird. I know people have made this observation with other things before, but it is very weird when you watch the video of this guy and this two guys fighting. There are more people filming it than there are people trying to break this up.
No one wants to get involved.
Nobody wants to get involved. They want to film it.
And now post they just, it. Yeah, they want to get viral.
Yeah.
Because if you go viral and people start liking your stuff, you can make some money.
That's right. You can do that.
American dream.
What happens when that bubble bursts?
Right.
What happens if people reach a point, they're like, nope, you can post, but you're not getting paid. Sorry.
You would have a lot of unemployed 20-something-year-olds.
I know. I just don't understand why people just can't get on a plane and go to Tahiti.
Yeah.
Come out here for 3 or 4 weeks. It's no big deal.
Just do things for the likes.
Yeah.
Just like this and like that.
So Joey Kilmartin, who was at the game, said this. He, meaning the gentleman who died, named Dale Mooney, he went over to Section 311 and he basically engaged in mutual combat with another fan. A lot of people started to try to pull them apart. It looked like somebody was in the middle of them. Then a man in a Dolphins jersey reached over and he connected with two punches to the victim's head. It wasn't something crazy or out of the ordinary until 30 seconds later, the guy wasn't getting up. So he was claiming that in the end, it was just a little... This is a little brawl. Just a couple of people just kind of duking it out a little bit. But apparently the guy in the Dolphins jersey punched him in the head twice. That just ended up resulting in him dying from this.
What is he, Drago?
I know.
I mean, I've never understood stadium fights as it is.
I know.
And I know that they occur, and it seems like they're occurring a lot more often because, listen, people, if you haven't noticed, everyone has a camera now, and so you get these films a lot more often.
That's right.
And it feels like there's a fight all the time at every single stadium across America. But I don't get it.
I have seen the Steelers in the stands at, like, 7 different stadiums around the country, okay? When I go, I never wear a jersey. I don't own a jersey. That's just not my thing. I don't mind if adults wear jerseys. It's cool. I'm not one of those people like, adults should never wear a jersey. You can wear a jersey all day. I don't care. I just don't.
But
it's not
you
my
do
thing.
Draw a line at an adult bringing a glove to a baseball game?
Yeah. I think there is a certain point where you can't do that. Bring your kid's glove and bring a kid.
Yeah, bring that. Kids can have a glove all day long.
Yeah, kids can have a glove all day long. Bring your kid if you want a glove at a game. But I don't wear a jersey, but I'll wear a Steeler sweater, shirt, you know, whatever it is. I got plenty of those. So I usually wear a sweatshirt or something along the lines. If it's outdoors, I'll wear a hat and whatever it is, you know, whether it's hot, I'll wear a regular hat, winter hat if it's cold. But I always try to keep my fandom, knowing I'm in enemy territory, a little tempered. I don't go crazy. I rarely see them lose. And I always try to have fun with people around me. You know, I'm always, and because I'm critical of my team. So if the Steelers don't get a first down, I'm
I always turn to some friend, people in the, you know, this is a problem all year, this stupid team. Sometimes, whatever, I'll make those kind of comments to show that, hey, you know what, I'm a Steeler fan. I'm not rooting for the hometown team here in whatever city I'm in. But in reality, I'm not going to cause any problems either. I'm not going to rub it in your face. I'm not going to do any of that. We'll just have a fun game. But I also don't drink a lot when I'm at a football game. I don't consume multiple beers or anything like that. And I wonder how much of that had something to do with this. Where you get a little bit more bold and you're willing to kind of go to another section. You got beer muscles. Exactly. Exactly. Because I don't know people. Like when I go, when I went to Tampa, I was at, now here's the deal. When I went to see the Steelers play Tampa, Tampa at that time wasn't very good. Okay. And so it was okay because there were a lot of Steeler fans there. And Tampa was not very good. So Tampa fans didn't really like. But I did one time see them in Denver where I wasn't covering the game. I got a ticket and I went into the stands and that Denver was good. And I remember just calming down, just, you know, hey, look, I'm not messing around. I've been in this city long enough. I've lived in this area a while. I know how passionate they are. Just have a good time. Not roll the towel in people's faces. I'm always a little cautious. I don't know the people around me, right? That's the thing. I don't know who's next to me. I don't know if they have a criminal record. I don't know if this is what they do. I don't know if they're violent. I don't know if they're peaceful. I don't know. I'd rather not take the chance. Because the one thing you need to know is, especially when you are a fan of somebody, and I don't know what happened, so I'm speculating here. I'm completely speculating. But I wonder if the Dolphin fan was just getting a little crazy, saying a lot of things, and it drove this guy nuts.
Yeah.
It just drove this guy nuts, and he started building up this animosity throughout the entire game. This guy is just being loud, obnoxious. He's got a very good team. He's proud of it. He's showing off. He's in our house, that kind of mentality. And this guy is like, you know what? No, I'm done with this. I'm done with this loudmouth. And he, like you said, he might have hit some beer muscles. I'm speculating. I don't know. And decided to take it upon himself to do something. And when you're doing that, as we know, when you're in a crowd or in a mob, it's very hard. People go nuts. They go crazy. They lose a sense of things. They get involved. The next thing you know, somebody else is punching you and you're punching two other people and it becomes a big disaster. It doesn't become a one-on-one Donnybrook. It becomes a mess. And yeah, that's what happened. The guy got punched in the head twice and now he's dead. That's sad. That's sad. 30-year season ticket holder.
Yeah.
And crazy. He's 54 years old, which means he was a season ticket holder when he was young, probably didn't have a lot of money, but he was willing to buy these tickets. It was the one thing he probably wanted to buy. He's like wife, girlfriend at the time, whatever it was. Hey, this is what I spend my money on. Like, there's one thing I will spend my money on, and that is Patriots season tickets. I am going to Patriots games. I love this team. This is what I want to do. When you talk 30 years, if you're talking 30 years, you're talking 1993. You're talking Drew Bledsoe. You're talking some lean years, Rod Rust, all the years prior to Bill Parcells was Dick McPherson and Rod Rust, terrible teams. And then he caught the wave, and he was a season ticket holder all through the 20 years that the Patriots were awesome. And now he's gone. He's gone because he couldn't handle the Miami Dolphins fan, and he went over there to start a fight and got punched in the head twice. It's kind of amazing. Amazing. I don't know.
I don't know. If you punch someone once, right? I'm never really been in a fight. The closest I was ever into was like a soccer brawl with my team, and that was just a lot of pushing and shoving and name calling.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. I don't know the mentality of like if you hit someone, if you just hit someone twice and that person died, that must have meant that first hit you walloped him pretty good.
You walloped him pretty good in the one spot that was sensitive enough to cause some issues.
And then does the second hit warrant it? Is this guy going to get brought up on criminal charges?
Well, that's the thing, right? You're going to have to sort it out and figure out if it was what it is, you know. But it's like, what's that movie with Brad Pitt and Leonardo? Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Did you see that movie?
Yeah.
Remember that where the Bruce Lee character is like, if I kill someone, I go to jail. And Brad Pitt's like, anybody who kills somebody in a fight goes to jail. It's called manslaughter. Right? It's like that situation. There's going to be lawyers breaking down this film, whatever film they can get on Was it self-defense? Was it, even if it wasn't, what's the charge here? Or do we go full bore? Was it an accident? Was the guy getting hit? He just responded. Like, this is going to be, they're going to break down this thing as much as they can to get some information on it. But yeah, he's definitely getting charged with something. He punched a guy in the head and he died. God, I mean, unless I like going to, I kind of pride myself on going to different cities and seeing the Steelers.
Yeah. Well, I mean, just to give you an update too. I mean, remember that we talked about it earlier, the two Dodgers, it was two Dodgers men who beat up
right.
the Giants.
Yeah. Yeah. What happened there?
They went to prison.
They did?
Yeah.
Like real, real prison or like a year or so? Are they still in prison?
I don't think they're still, I'm trying to read.
Sure
really
they did.
Quickly.
Yeah. I remember that story was brutal. Like they just kept hitting him over and over again.
I mean, that was a complete beatdown. And once he was down on the ground, they still went after him.
So that was nasty. Man, not to get all morbid,
reports said he was sentenced to 4 years in prison because he pled guilty to one count of assault. And then the other guy was sentenced to 8 years.
My goodness.
For one count of mayhem that disabled and disfigured the victim. Because the victim, his name's Brian Stowe, suffered brain damage.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
And I know he was in a coma for a long time.
Philip, though, on Twitter says, for the record, I don't claim that Dolphins fan. Yeah, I know.
We never do. Hey, you know, those two Dodger fans I was talking about, they're not my Dodger fans.
All right, coming up, news on Shohei Ohtani. We'll get a little baseball in. As he had the surgery, so what does it mean for 2024? We'll tell you next. It's Wake Up Call, Sportsman Radio.
Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. Shohei Ohtani had surgery. So he should be able to bat next year. They say he should be able to pitch in 2025. Here is the official statement from Shohei Ohtani. Shohei had his procedure this morning at Kirin and Job Orthopedic Clinic in Los Angeles. The final decision and type of procedure was made with a heavy emphasis on the big picture. Shohei wanted to make sure the direction taken gave him every opportunity to hit and pitch for many years to come. Wink, wink, $600 million, wink, wink. No, that wasn't part of the statement. I added that.
But that's what they were saying.
But that's basically what
they
were saying.
When you read between the lines, that's how I read it.
That's right. That's basically what it was. Wink, wink, $600 million. So Shohei Ohtani this winter, I got to be honest with you, this injury really, really bothered me. I don't know. I don't have very many things in my life to look forward to, Ron Culver, but seeing Shohei Ohtani break the bank this winter was one of the things I was looking forward to seeing.
Yeah.
I kind of wanted to see billionaire baseball owners groveling at the feet of one of the greatest baseball players of all time.
I mean, it would have
been
fun.
Please come play for me. What will it take?
But the dream is dead.
Let's
face it. I mean, the dream is dead.
Exactly. I'm serious. His agent is going to set up meetings. It's going to be just like in that movie with John Travolta, where Robert Duvall goes, "Can I keep this pen?" And they walk out. I forget. I think it was a Civil Action. It's a movie about the waters in Worcester. Remember that?
Yes.
John Travolta's sitting at the end of the table, and he's like, "And I want $20 million for this. And I want each family to get $40 million. He's like, he's just listing this, and his colleagues, it comes as a shock. His colleagues are writing it down. I'm like, what are you doing? And Robert Duvall goes, "I got a question. Can I keep this pen?" And he just gets up and walks. That's what the owners are going to do. They're going to come in, and the agent's going to go, "Well, first of all, Shohei's going to want $500 million, and he's going to want this. He's going to want an incentive that pays him another $25 million. And then if he reaches a certain level in year three, he's going to want an extra $50 million. And the owner's going to go, "Excuse me one second. Bye." Walk out the door. That's what they're going to do. When before? Oh, my God, before the injury? Holy cow. They would have bent over backwards. They would have gone crazy.
Yeah, they would.
What does it take? 550? 575? 580? 600? Somebody won 600?
I mean, you, 605? Honestly, the best thing would have been for them to just like hire Sotheby's.
Right, right, exactly.
And just put all auction? Put all the owners in the room and go, the bidding will start now at 350.
Who's got 350? Who's got Shohei Ohtani for 350? I got 350. I'll go 375, 375, 375, 3400, 400, 425, 425, 450, 450, 500, 500. And just watch them sweat.
Yeah.
I would have watched that on pay-per-view. Are you kidding me?
That would have been like 600 been to the Steinbrenners.
Boom, sold. Shohei's like 600. I got it. Brilliant.
I mean, what do you think he's going to get now?
But now, he can't guarantee that he'll pitch.
Right. Ever.
He can take a physical to show that he's physically capable of hitting.
Which in its own right, you'll take.
Right.
You know, you're talking about someone who hits, for 300 average, hits home runs easily, gets on base all the time, is fast.
Right.
So, I mean, you'll take that as a hitter, but that's not a $600 million man.
That's not a $600 man. That is, like you said one time before, if you will pay $300 million for a pitcher and $300 million for a great hitter, you'll pay $600 for all of it rolled in one.
Yeah.
Right? Well, so now you can't. So he's going to be bidding. So you, and again, these baseball contracts are guaranteed. So if by 2025, Shohei goes, I can pitch, but yeah, if you think I'm going to be Cy Young award winning, probably not. I'm like, oh, great. So we're basically we took our trust in that. You were gonna do this. Now, we did speculate that this might be a unique moment for Shohei to have some sort of two-contract system where they say, here's the deal. You get X contract for being a hitter, but if in 2025 you are pitching, then we'll do this deal. Because how in the world, what could you be told by anybody that in 2025, he's going to be an effective pitcher? What doctor could make that claim? They don't know. They don't know. They're just taking his word for it that he'll be back in pitch for many years to come? Maybe.
I mean, you're certainly not going to pay for it.
No, you're certainly not going to pay for it. And you're certainly not going to give the guy $550 for what will end up being a DH, and he could be a permanent DH. You don't know. So this winter is going to get really interesting. Now, I have to say, I did like your idea, if you're Shohei's agent. Hey, we're going to do a two-year deal with the Angels.
Yeah.
We're going to do a two-year deal with the Angels where he gets paid great, right? Maybe he makes $35 million a year, whatever. But we're going to show the Angels that he can hit, and then in year two of the contract, he'll hit and pitch. Then, when he's done that, we'll go back to this free agency thing and see what we can get.
Yeah. But
that does add 2 years to his age.
Right. I was going to say that. Like, it still might not be $600 million.
Still might not be $600 million is right. But if you are his agent,
I don't think you go for the big deal right now because then you're stuck.
You are stuck. You know what you could do?
Then, like, say it's not the Angels, say it's the Dodgers or the Rangers or the Yankees. I'm just pulling out the teams that spend money.
Right.
Say they get Shohei Ohtani and they have a good deal, and they bumped it up a little bit for him being a hitter, and they said, all right, we're not going to do the $600 million, but what we'll do is we'll give you $400 million. If he comes around and he starts being the Shohei Ohtani that he was this past season, the year before that, and the year before that, you basically got a world-class hitter for $200 million and a world-class pitcher for $200 million.
Right, right.
And that's the way I look at it. Now you're stealing.
Now you are, right. You're right. It's going to be very interesting this winter. So on the one hand, I missed out on a bunch of owners groveling for his attention and love. But on the flip side, I got a very interesting offseason with Shohei where we could see a first-time structured contract. We could see a short contract just to get him into free agency again when he's healthy. Or we could see an owner go, screw it. I don't care. I'm rolling the dice.
I believe the doctor.
I believe in it. I am just going to roll the dice. If I land this, and it's awesome. If I don't, oh, well.
It's my money.
It's my money. So here's the deal. I'm just going to do it. You might get that. You don't know. So maybe the second option, maybe this real option that we're getting now, maybe it is more interesting than a bunch of rich owners going, no, no, ah, 605, ah!
I'm just curious what the Angels are going to do moving forward.
Right.
Because, I mean, this is a team that, I mean, they're the laughingstock of Major League Baseball. I'm sorry. I don't care if
I don't care
if your team is coming last place year after year after year. You know, you're just a small market team, and you're always going to be a small market team. Every once in a while, you have a flash in the pan. Angels are not a small market team, even though they act like it. And they've had two of the greatest players in all of baseball on their roster for what, like the last 3-4 years when Shohei Ohtani came in?
Yeah, they could not land. They could not be competitive. You kidding me?
You can't make a playoff?
Exactly. You can't be in the running where they're adding playoff teams and you still can't get in the mix?
I mean, we're not talking you guys got to go out and win a World Series.
You went out there and on the trade deadline got aggressive and then ended up going, yeah, screw it. We'll just get rid of these players now. We don't need them. We clearly fell off the map.
Not only that, but I mean,
stuck
to their guns and said, we're going to keep Shohei Ohtani.
Right.
We feel that this team can do it. And you went for it. And it just, now, you know, I mean, I sit here, I think the best option would be for Shohei to sign like a year or two deal. I like your 2-year deal.
Yeah.
You know, like they already know he's a hitter. They already know he's loved there. They'll hold on to him. It allows him to get back to where he can pitch in a season.
What would that put him in 2 years? 30?
Yeah.
31, something like that? All right.
But, you know, I mean, they age differently. I mean, look at Ichiro. The greatest thing I ever saw saw recently was what every 3,000 hit club member, how many hits they would have had if they'd entered the league at 27.
Oh, yeah.
And we would have only had two players above 3,000 hits. And that's Ichiro and Pete Rose.
That's awesome.
That's not bad. And everyone else is like, you know, you got a couple 25, but you got a lot of people who are just in the thousands.
Yeah, right. Nuts.
Because they age differently.
It's, keep yourself healthy and play into your 40, 45 years old. All right, again, we're going to talk to Chris Solari, Detroit Free Press, on what the latest on the Mel Tucker situation. Can he save his job? Does he have a case? And Michigan State's side of things. We continue. It's Wake Up Call.
Over. Here's Tony D.
All right, we're going to be heading to our Progressive guest line. Round out your protection with life, phone, and pet health insurance. Visit them for a quote at progressive.com. We're working on Chris Solari, Detroit Free Press, on the Mel Tucker story. Suspended earlier this month, actually about 10 days ago, he was suspended for this relationship that he had, this inappropriate relationship with him that got into the news. And then he was told on Monday that the school did plan on firing him. And per his contract, he has 7 days to basically put his case together as to why that shouldn't happen. Now, it's very likely that the two sides are parting ways. I think this is going to be a more of a financial thing, but you know, maybe not. Maybe he's like, no, I'm not getting fired and you're not taking me from my job. But nevertheless, the ocean of information that has been coming about this story has been pretty mind-blowing. He got a $95 million contract extension just 2 years ago. And at that time, it was earth-shattering. I mean, it was crazy. It was 10 years, $95 million, $9 million a season after an incredible 2001 year for the Spartans. But since then, it hasn't been the same national championship-level play from a national championship-level paid coach. And then you add this aspect to it, and all of a sudden, Mel Tucker and Michigan State are in serious odds. Chris Solari joins us, Detroit Free Press, on this story. How are you, Chris?
Good. How are you guys doing?
good. Can you just take us back to 2001? Take us back to that 10-year, $95 million contract and set up the Spartan season that led to the school and boosters to pay $95 million in that extension.
Yeah, when you look at that season, a lot of people didn't know what to expect coming in because Mel Tucker's first year, they went 2-5 during the pandemic, had a couple games canceled due to COVID, and there was a complete roster overhaul. He was really, before Deion Sanders went and broomed his roster at Colorado this year, Mel Tucker took that approach and said, okay, we are going to bring in all these transfers. And they hit gold with Kenneth Walker. And all of a sudden, Michigan State beats Michigan in perhaps maybe the most epic game at Spartan Stadium. And they're 8-0. And all of a sudden, the rumors start flying that Mel Tucker's a hot candidate for the LSU job. And there wasn't too much veracity to it other than the fact that they might have been interested. And Michigan State people, knowing the past, knowing that they let Nick Saban walk at one point, they were concerned about that happening again. So the boosters came together, supplemented the university's package, and presented Tucker with a 10-year, $95 million guaranteed contract. With the thought at the time, well, if things work out as we think they're going to work out in the middle of this season, then looking forward, we think it's going to be a great thing. We're invested in him, and if he goes to another job, we don't have to worry about anything because we've shown the ability to pay at the highest of levels. Well, things didn't go as well as they thought. Obviously, we know what happened in April of 2022 based on the USA Today story and Mel Tucker's admission. Last season, the Spartans went 5-7, missed a bowl game for the second time in Tucker's first 3 years, and everything came to a head at this point. And the recruiting has been down after a really good 22 class that they brought in on the heels of that game, the game against Michigan in the 11-2 season and top 10 finish and Peach Bowl win. But this obviously was something that changed a lot of the trajectory of what and why we saw Mel Tucker on Monday get his letter of termination to begin the process. It's an amazing high to an amazing low in a really short period of time.
So Tucker has, what, 7 days from Monday to sort of prove a case? Or what is he trying to save? Is he trying to save money, or is he trying to save his job? I can't imagine he'll coach there even if he wins his case.
No, every statement Mel Tucker has issued the past week, the Monday after the initial USA Today story came out, and then yesterday, or 2 days ago, with the response to the letter from the university, pretty much points to that being a done deal. Mel Tucker won't ever coach another game at Michigan State one way or another. I believe this is obviously you have to, if you're Mel Tucker and his agents and his attorneys, you have to fight for whatever the remainder of the guaranteed contract is. And they have 7 days to file a response, and that will go through into federal court, and nothing happens slowly in federal court. So it'll be interesting to see how that all plays out. And I know that Michigan State could move if they wanted to, but there's going to be a big legal fight over whether or not he could go from cause or not.
How is this going? I think that this would have been a similar situation probably at a lot of other schools, but at Michigan State with its history, how much does that play into what they're trying to avoid with this story?
I think a good amount. I mean, perhaps if it's another school that didn't have the Larry Nassar situation or repeated instances beyond that of mishandling sexual assault or sexual violence or sexual harassment cases or Title IX cases. I mean, this goes all the way back into the 2010s, well before Mel Tucker was even back in college football, that Michigan State has had these kind of issues. So it's not just, I believe that the term Mel Tucker and his camp used was Nassar taint. I think there's more to it than that. I mean, this is something that has been a situation and on the federal scope for about a decade. And this is something that, you know, Michigan State has talked a lot about. I believe the interim president, Teresa Woodruff, called it the new MSU. And this is, I think, the move to fire him for cause with this shows that they're pretty serious about treating it as such and showing that they're going to treat sexual harassment cases, particularly at the highest paid employee at the university, with the strongest of responses.
Does Mel Tucker have any case to this at all? I mean, does he have any? I mean, he says it was a consensual phone call. Does he have anything to say, this is bogus, they're probably getting rid of me for football rather than this? I mean, is there something that he can stand on?
I mean, as a layman without the contract negotiation experience, I look at it and say no. The admission of the act that he had on the phone call with Brenda Tracy is one that, you know, you've brought someone in as a vendor, so you're technically their overseer.
Right.
That happens at any, if that happens at Disney per se, or CBS, or any of, I mean, and a lot of those places have had these kind of issues. There's no escape from that. I mean, you cannot do that with someone who brought on as an employee, whether it be a full-time employee or a contract employee vendor situation like this one. So, you know, that's, I think, I don't think so, but attorneys get paid a lot of money to find and create gray areas. And because they said this was a personal relationship, I can see where they're fighting it. They said that this happened, they only brought her onto campus one time and this happened. They're essentially trying to establish that there was no more business relationship, that this was strictly a personal matter. So, but I don't know if they're going to be able to do that. That's, I think, what's going to be determined in federal court.
So back to switching it back to sort of the sports mind now, where does Michigan State go from here? I'm sure it's a good job. It's Michigan State. I mean, they've been in my life forever. Is it enough to draw somebody away from a current job to Michigan State? Does it still have that kind of pull?
Let's put it this way. The money involved that Mel Tucker got when they hired him in 2020 was enough to pull him away from Colorado in a February situation. The timing of Mark Antonio's retirement was perhaps the worst thing in all of this for Michigan State, because I don't feel like they were able to really get a good candidate pool or do due diligence to replace D'Antonio. They thought they had Luke Fickell lined up, and Luke Fickell had the job if it was his. It was his to accept, and, you know, 11th hour turned it down. And Michigan State had to go back to Mel Tucker, go with more money. So I think when you look at that, one, they showed they were able to pull someone away already. Two, they gave Mel Tucker that contract extension to show that they're willing and ready to pay at the highest of level to get a coach who can win. I've heard a lot of names thrown around, and I think that when you're looking three games into a season, right now you can't really say that, because some of those hot names right now might lose some luster, and you might discover other candidates. So I think it's going to be a fascinating couple months here figuring out. But this job itself, I think there's a lot of resources here now in particular that they'll be able to attract a lot of good candidates.
Chris Solari, Detroit Free Press, thanks for joining us. Really appreciate it on a very interesting story. Thank you so much.
You got it. Take care.
We'll continue with Wake Up Call.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, thanks to Chris Solari, Detroit Free Press, on the Mel Tucker situation. It's a really interesting story, but you know what? He's right. Mel Tucker is fighting for his job, but he's not really. He's fighting for his money. That's all he's fighting for. He's not going to try to be the coach of Michigan State again. They're not going to let him coach Michigan State.
You know what? He didn't do the untouchable, so he'll get hired somewhere else.
Yeah.
But, right. get the money from this contract, or as much as you can from it, because you might have to go back to a coordinator position. But, you know, most likely he's going to be a head coach somewhere else in the next year or two.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah, probably. But you know what? He played the game correctly in terms of his contract. Not the way he dealt with Brenda Tracy, but the way he dealt his contract. Have a good season and then start rumors. Have your agent start rumors that you're wanted at every major program around the country. That you're the hot new thing. Happens all the time. Happens all the time. And then next thing you know, your school is scrambling to try to make you way more wealthy than you probably deserved. There's absolutely no reason Mel Tucker should be getting paid the same way as Nick Saban. But because the circumstances were right, because of what Chris Solari said. So here's a school. 2 years into Mel Tucker's tenure at Michigan State, he's got them 11 wins. He's got Kenneth Walker. They're ranked in the top 10. They beat Michigan, and then rumors are going around that he's gonna depart for LSU. He's gonna go to a better school. He's gonna go to a school that's bigger. And then you scramble because you already lost Nick Saban once. You don't want to lose the next great coach. So you put together a $95 million 10-year extension package. And then next thing you know, you're trying to get out of it for cause. A couple years later, because he had a phone call with a woman who was brought into the school. And like Chris Solari said, she comes in. You're the kind of overseer of her when she's on campus. And you decide that you were attracted enough to her to start a relationship. But then you do things in the relationship that make her uncomfortable enough to leak it. It gets leaked, you get fired. And that's how it works. Because you didn't understand that contract had a clause in it that said, you know what, if you act unprofessionally, you could be gone. So the statement from the university, from Mel Tucker, says the following. Your admitted behavior materially breached your obligation to yourself professionally and ethically at all times. It is decidedly unprofessional and unethical to flirt, make sexual comments while on the phone with a university vendor. The unprofessional and unethical behavior is particularly egregious given that the vendor at issue was contracted by the university for the sole purpose of educating student athletes on and preventing instances of inappropriate sexual misconduct. Your admitted conduct, engaging in a sexual extramarital behavior with a university vendor, rises to the level of a material breach of your contractual duty to the university to conduct yourself in a professional and ethical manner. At all times. And the quote of all times is part of the contract, right? So again, what does all at all times means? At all times means if somebody catches you on film acting inappropriately in Cancun on vacation with your family, that's something the university can review, right? So I had that little lesson early in my career. It was not on the level of this, but Do you know what it was?
No.
I'll tell the story. I don't mind telling the story. So when I was younger, I was working at the station in Manchester, New Hampshire, and we had a guy at the station who was he got pulled over for drunk driving, and it was like his second offense, I think. Whatever it was, I forget what offense it was, but whatever it was, it required his license was taken away. So he hired a lawyer. And he came to me and he said, hey, listen, you know, I was here. You saw me here this night, right? That he got pulled over. You saw me here. And my lawyer would like to know if you would testify on my behalf in court that I was at the station from this time to this time. And I'm young. I think I'm 22 at the time. I'm really young. I'm like right out of college. And so I'm a little intimidated because I kind of want to do this, but I don't know. I've never been in court before. Like the only thing I knew about court was like what you saw on TV. So I said, okay, I'll do it. I thought about it. I said, all right, I'll do it. So I go to court and I testify, and it was really easy. By the way, this was the funniest part, right? So his lawyer goes, did you notice so-and-so at the station from blah, blah, blah to blah, blah, blah? Yes. Did he leave at this time? Yeah, I believe so. Yeah, I was still at the station and I saw him leave the building. Was he consuming any alcohol at the time while he was at the station? No. And then he was going off and he said, isn't it against the FCC rules to be consuming alcohol while in the control room of a radio station? Yes, it is. Yeah, just simple. The prosecuting lawyer gets up and goes, "Were you with him after this time? No. Do you know if he was drinking after this time? No. You're done." I was like, I got off the thing. I was like, I think he made his point. So anyway, not that long after that, I get called into the general manager's office, and he's asking me all about it. And he goes, "You know, this was in the paper." And I'm like, "Yeah." He goes, "You're in the paper." Because I was in the paper. I was a WGIR sports personality. And this other guy was a station employee too. And they put in the paper. It was just a little blurb, but it was enough. And he said, "We can't have this." He goes, "You needed to tell me." And I didn't know. You know, I'm young. I didn't know the business.
Yeah, why would you know that yet?
I didn't know the business. I just thought asked me. I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm not lying. He didn't ask me to lie. But he made a point. He said, "Listen, everything you do is now, it reflects on us. Because everything you do is now, you're an on-air personality."
Yeah. And at that point, up to that point, you probably thought, "I'm just a little nobody."
I was literally a nobody. I was the third man in a sports department, on a three-man sports department.
I got this gig that I do.
I was there a year and a half, maybe. And he was great. I mean, he's a great GM. I learned a lot from him about the business. But he was stern. I mean, he was really, I was nervous. I thought I was going to lose my job. But he was stern. And he said, this is a lesson for you when you go on your career. Everything you do is reflective. Other people get to have a secondary life where it's none of the business of the people that hire them. Not you. And I was like, oh. I mean, literally, Ron, I cannot tell you. I might have had 2 hours of airtime a week at that station. You know, all I was doing was like raps. You know what raps are? When the sports director would go on and he would go, "Last night, New Hampshire College beat so-and-so. Tony Desiri has the update." And I would have like a 45-second rap with a piece of audio in it. And then I would close it. And that's what they would use. That's like all I did. He was making me out to be like Howard Stern. Like all of a sudden, like I had this major, presence. But I was petrified. I mean, I did not know this. I was like,
of course you were. I was too.
Scared to death.
I
thought I was doing a friend a favor. I wasn't lying for him. I was telling the truth. But no, once it got in the little courtroom blurb of the Manchester Union Leader, I was like,
and that's the last time you ever volunteered to be
witness. Oh yeah, no, I don't do those things anymore. You're on your own. Yep.
You come up to an accident, even though you saw it.
Yeah.
No, I'm going to keep going.
Even if I have the evidence in my house that you did not commit that murder, I'm not getting involved.
No,
can't be bothered. You'll have to subpoena me. I won't be doing that. No, thank you. Yeah, it's crazy. But again, going back to Mel Tucker, which is 1,000, if not infinitely more important than I am. I mean, he had to know that the hubris on this guy to think I could do this. I could have an extramarital affair with a woman that speaks about sexual harassment and say certain things to her, and I'm immune from being fired from this job, is insane. It really is crazy. I mean, he must have thought he was untouchable. And here's the thing. His records, it was not good. But he probably was at a point like, this contract's guaranteed. So even if I coach my way out of this, meaning I can't win enough games here, they have to pay me this money. They're going to be calling some rich people to write checks for me to go away. And now that the school is saying, "Hey, we actually have it in the contract, well, we don't have to pay you any money if you do this." And he did it anyway. And now he's not going to get any money. He's probably going to get something. We always know how this works. You know what I mean? It's every time. You know what it's like? You ever see those congressional grillings where they say, like, "Senator Smith grills Department of Homeland Security"? And if you watch those, does anything ever happen to anybody who's ever? No, they never do. This case, the school wants Mel Tucker to not be given another penny. He wants all $80 million bucks. They're probably going to give him some money to go away. That's usually how these things work. All right, we'll continue. It's Wake Up Call Sports Map Radio as we roll along on your Wednesday.